Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com. That's strengthforthejourney.com. And this is radio program number 85 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Today I have a very good friend of mine that has joined me down here in Panama, Ted Heath. Ted, thanks for joining us tonight or today.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's great to be back on your show.
Well, this is a real treat for me because you're like a fire that I want to be around because you have a passion for souls. And people that have a passion for souls is a fire that everybody needs to be ignited with. Mm. And so it's just great to have you around whenever you're around because it helps to inspire me. I guess one of the things we're excited about is we're about ready to make an order of close to 200,000 Chick Tracks. And that's going to reach a lot of people.
Absolutely. I think we sent down about 113,000 a year, a little bit over a year ago, and we're almost out of them. So this will be a tremendous blessing.
Yeah, I was scheduled to go to Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic this next week to do some ministering there. But I had a little setback. I ended up with a staph infection in the hospital for a week and never spent the night in a hospital in my life. But I'll tell you, the little staph bacteria, they're some wicked little dudes, man. I told the doctor, if you put this thing under a microscope, I think it'd probably have a couple horns and a tail. Those things are, it's called Staphylococcus aureus, and I don't wish that on anybody. It's really a hard thing to overcome, and a lot of antibiotics for a week, but I'm on the mend, and I know God's got some great things in store. I said, Lord, is this the way I'm going to go? Death by bacteria? I said, I want my death to glorify just as much as my life. I said, how's this going to glorify you? So I was just really crying out to the Lord for deliverance, and he did. And I know many people were praying for me, and I appreciate all the prayers of those, especially from our church. I prayed probably for a half an hour to an hour, just interceding, and very touching of all the prayers. So we're on the mend and on the move. The pastor that's going to Dominican Republic, I just gave him two full boxes of tracks he's going to take down with him himself. And I look at it like it's bullets for your gun. You know, you can share the gospel with people, but to have it in a form that people can just look and see, read, it's interesting because there's pictures in those stories. I just advise anybody that has a passion for the lost to go to chick.com, chick.com, and place an order of those tracks. I think you'll find those tracks really beneficial to reaching the lost, wouldn't you say, Ted?
Oh, absolutely. And people in Panama, they're very hungry for them. They read them. They're appreciative when you give them to them, and that you can watch them. They oftentimes just read them right away. So it's handing out tracks in Panama is a lot of fun.
Well, you know something too, Ted, that you've mentioned you know, it does something to you when you go out and minister and reach others. And it helps all of us have a focus on somebody else and ourselves because you have a concern for another man's soul. And I think that's a manifestation of loving your neighbor as yourself because you care about their soul just about as much as your own, that you're actually willing to go share the gospel with somebody.
That's absolutely right. There's a breaking process that occurs in the person who distributes the tracts.
Tell a bit about just how it's done, how it's affected you over the last several years since you kind of got back into evangelism. I know we went to a school of ministry evangelism, a street ministry class back in Las Vegas back around 1987 or 88 or something. And, you know, that training that plants a seed inside of you, you know, that it's always there. It just needs to be watered and rekindled the flame. And this is something that happened to you.
Absolutely. You know, my son was in Omaha, Nebraska with me about 6 weeks ago, and I took him down to Little Mexico with a bunch of Spanish tracks, and we started handing them out. My son said to me, Dad, that felt great. You know, he just got this tremendous feeling of joy. And so, you know, I would encourage people to hand out tracks because, as you indicated, there's a breaking process and a work that goes on in the heart of the tract distributor as well.
Yes, so. That's right. You know, what I want to share and talk about today is this, the process of death. that most of us have never really gone to. You know, we think that we can have our best life now and our best life down the road. And it seems pretty clear to me from the Gospels that it's not that way at all. And the Gospel that's been preached for so long that you just say this little prayer and you're going to heaven now and go enjoy your life and be good and don't do any of the bad, major stuff, but, you know, just have fun. This is what God put you here. Just go have fun. Mm-hmm. And I was just reading just a moment ago in 2 Timothy, and it talks about how that there'll be a time when then there won't be sound doctrine, and that people will be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure. In fact, I'll just read here 2 Timothy chapter 3. And know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive all silly women laden with sins, led away with the very diverse lusts, ever learning but never coming to know have the knowledge of the truth. And I think that, you know, many people just go to church just to get their head filled with knowledge, but not having going to have a heart change and a heart transplant. And the heart transplant, I've come to realize that it comes by dying to yourself, that you can't have God's heart and your own heart in the same body, that you have to die and lay down your life. And many people struggle with this decision because it's the only life they think they have, or and it really proves that they really don't believe that there is another life, that they're willing to lay down this life right now.
And part of the reason for that is found in 2 Timothy 4:3, where the Apostle Paul says that in the end time, man will not endure sound doctrine, but rather wanting their ears tickled, they will surround themselves by ear-tickling false teachers. And of course, that's how we raise up a best life now gospel that is completely void of the need for repentance. And this has influenced the pulpit all across America on some level, it would appear. It's a completely different gospel that doesn't require repentance, the need for suffering, or the need for sacrifice. And this is how a nation can turn on and watch worldly TV, which slowly has a dissipating effect on our morality.
You know, it's interesting to talk about the TV. I know I've heard the Lord yell at me several times, but one of the times was he said, get your TV out of the house. This was about in 2000, and we did. And it was amazing the difference of the influence, even though you're trying to watch good stuff. You know, the TV set is like it likes to slime people. You weren't expecting to see what you see, hear what you hear. You're just trying to enjoy television. And I know this is something the Lord even spoke to you a number of years ago, too. And just the influence that it brings into your home is more than we can understand.
Absolutely. You know, like Walt Disney, it seems harmless enough, but it has a lot of homosexual characters on the Walt Disney Channel. Well, this slowly has a dissipating and a weakening effect on the morality of the nation, and that's how we have such decisions now where the Supreme Court makes it a constitutional right. That's just one example.
Well, the influence is more than people can understand. It's I had a word, and I read it over the last radio program, but it was talking about said, come out of her, my people, lest you partake of her plagues. And the problem is that we're plagued by association, that we're infiltrated by the world. The world has an effect on us that we don't realize. Like the frog in the pot, you don't realize the effect that the hot water has on muscles, but pretty soon that frog can't jump out of that pot. It's immobilized inside that pot, even though it was just enjoying some nice warm water, like sitting in a hot tub. Suddenly that hot tub bubbles, air bubbles, turned into bubbles off the bottom of the pot, and you didn't know when it happened. It happened over time. And this is the way I see much of the church right now, is their legs have been atrophied and such, and like rigor mortis set into them, that they can't even jump out of the pot. I mean, you have babies being picked apart by tweezers, by Planned Parenthood, and there's no marching in the streets. It's like they've been immobilized spiritually. And so they have no ability to take to the streets and say, what are you talking about? This cannot happen on, you know, in this nation. But everything is just okay. No problem. You know, we'll just don't disturb my comfort zone. You know, who won the ball game last night? Nobody seems to realize what is happening under their watch. Their nation's been taken away from them right now.
Absolutely. You know, 80% Christian nation or whatever the number is. But most of the Christians, or many of them, have fallen in love with the things of the world as much as the non-Christians. And so this is how they can sit there for TV, in front of a TV, all night long, while the nation is literally, you know, going to hell. So
it's crazy. Even just you look at the news, what's happening right now with China and Russia and the threats that are coming from North Korea, and yet it doesn't seem to even affect anybody. It's just life as usual. We're this blessed nation. You know, we send more missionaries than any other nation around the world. I see prophetic newsletters go out, and I see these words of God's going to bless America, and you know, that we're not under judgment and this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, how can they say that? I mean, anybody with half a brain can look on the news and see that something's not right. Something's changing. We're about ready to go into, this is mid-September right now, and there's so many things about ready to happen. We have a full, the last lunar tetrad, or the blood moon of the tetrad, is going to be on the 28th. We have a multiple feasts that are happening right now. This is a very prophetic time. You have the Pope coming to speak to the nation. You know, what does he have to say? We don't know yet, but this is a very prophetic time, and people better really catch, you know, get an understanding that the times that we're living in. You know, what I want to talk about, too, is about the benefits of death. You know, this is the toughest thing for people to do, is to lay down their life. But, you know, the Lord asked me a question here maybe a couple of years ago when he was starting to stir my comfort zone. But he said, how can a man be born again if he's never died once? And I thought about that for a moment, and it doesn't really make sense. How can you be born again if there hasn't been a preceding death? Everything has to die first to have a new life. I mean, the leaves fall off the tree for the spring to come with new life in spring. There's just many things, and I've been able to really begin to see the benefits of death. You know, I was looking at a tree one day. They have a lot of these trees that have these parasites, these little plant parasites growing out of the tree. And the Lord just kind of asked me a question, what would happen to those parasites if that tree died? And I go, well, I guess the parasites would die too. And he just began to show me that there's a process of deliverance that takes place even in our life if we lay down our life and no longer want to live our life for ourselves. That the influence of the world goes away, the lust of the flesh. There's Romans chapter 6 I want to read here. It said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? This is 6, 1 through 7. It says, God forbid, how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him and by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we might not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. I mean, right there, this tells you right there the benefits of dying, laying down your life, just like he did for us. If we lay down our life in the same manner, we'll also be resurrected in the same manner. But it also, if you go to this other side of the coin, if we don't lay down our life like he did for us, then we won't be resurrected in life, man. If you just look at the contrary, the two words there. But nobody wants to think. They want to think, oh, I thought, you know, pastor told me if I say this prayer, I'm saved. Where's the gospel? Where's the repentance? Where's living a repentant life? I don't see it in much of the sermons that are being preached today.
That's right. The trick is trying to keep our heart in a moment by moment repentant condition and live in a life of repentance that bears fruit. You know, Matthew 7 says the fruit tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Now, when people hear that, do they try to justify in their mind and look at all the fruit and feel really good about it? Or do they look at that verse and does it force them to examine themselves and strike fear in their heart? And all the ear tickling has removed the fear of the Lord from the gospel and the need to bear fruit as evidence of a true conversion.
Well, there's something I realized. I look back on my life, and I can't honestly say that God had fruit in my life. I mean, his fruit. I might have had some good works, but I didn't see really his fruit bearing in my life until I left all, until I really qualified myself, according to Luke chapter 14, of being a disciple, laying down my life, not my will, but yours be done. And then God began to supernaturally open doors and do things that I had never experienced before in my life. But I realized that there's something like when he asked me a question one time, he said, would you die for me? And this was a number of years ago, and I told him I would. Well, he reworded the question when I got here, and it said, instead of would you, it was will you? And it changed the whole dynamic of the question, because now, essentially, I'm giving my own death sentence when I say I will. And in tears, choked up, I said, I will. Where else am I going to go? Only you have the words of life. And it's almost like at that point in time, I almost could hear him say, now I can trust you. Now I can trust you with what I want to do with you, that you won't take credit for what I'm going to do for you. Because, you know, one of the benefits of being dead is that there's a number of things, but dead men don't take credit. It's a safety zone for us, because most of us want to take credit for what we do. We want to be recognized by people. And I've learned that all these things are evidence, really should be evidences, that we're still living for ourselves. If we're still looking for promotion from man, we're looking for credit from man. One thing I've seen too is that when you lay down your life, you don't take credit for, you're preserving your reward for later, because you don't want it now. Like you talked about the Pharisees, you know, verily they have the reward. You know, we don't want a reward now if we really believe that we're going on to have a reward later. We will live like as if, save it for later. I don't want it right now. And this is where most people, it's evidence really that they're still alive, because there's so much stuff going on in churches that everybody wants to have their back patted, and I don't see a bunch of dead people serving others.
Well, no, and people are not prepared for what's coming on this earth. You know, Jesus said, whoever's persecuted will be rewarded in heaven. Persecution is coming on the church. We already start to see it. This is just a matter of time till pastors will be forced to perform same-sex marriage. And the bottom line is most of them are not prepared to say no. A pastor can only reproduce in others what he himself is. So if he's not ready for persecution, he's not preparing his church for persecution.
No, they're not. And, you know, persecution will divide the those that really love the Lord and those that don't. Because if you haven't given up your life, truly given up your life, then you'll do everything you can to preserve it. This is it's just a fact. You, if your life is still alive, you will do everything you can to keep it alive. But if you lay down your life for him, then you've already done it. You've already gone, taken that big step and said, Lord, I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for you. And you'll find that he'll transplant his heart into you, that you'll start having a love for other people, and you'll start seeing their needs as equal, even more than your own. And you'll begin to become a giver. And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, when Jesus was talking about in the Sermon of the Mount, to love your enemies, do good to those that persecute you, and pray for those. I mean, these things don't make sense in the natural. How could anybody fulfill those commandments that he was giving us in Matthew if you weren't already dead? But a dead man can obey. That's one of the benefits of being dead to self, is that you have the ability to obey difficult things. You can forgive 70 times 7. Because you understand what he's done for you, so you can extend that forgiveness, because it protects you in many ways from the wounds, because really they're not doing it to you, they're doing it to the Lord. And this is why many people are offended. Why they're hurt is because they're still alive. And instead of being condemning that these things I'm offended, let it be an indication that there's somebody still alive, that you're trying to preserve yourself rather than saying, Lord, you know, they persecuted you. I mean, why my job description is no different. I'm going to be persecuted too. And you can be freed, really, from the enemy's snares, because he captures people that are alive. The lusts, you talked about, one you just mentioned in 2 Timothy, was talking about the fact that silly women laden with diverse lusts, they're in a position to be captured because they're still living. And this should all be an indication to all of us that if we're having problems in the flesh, that means the flesh is still alive. It says, he that is dead is freed from sin. So there's something still alive if there's a problem with sin. So this should be like a flag, so red flag going, hey, wait a minute, you know, wait a minute. This is a warning danger. You're living in the danger zone.
Yeah, you know, and Jeremiah talks about the way the human heart is a liar. And Steve Gallagher says the human heart is an inveterate liar. And that's why we're so prone to being deceived. So if we have false teachers that are preaching a gospel that caters to our flesh and our love of the things of the world, it's very easy for us to believe that. You know, I thought I was dead, but when the persecution and the suffering came, I found out that I was far less dead than I thought. So it's very easy for us to be deceived about ourselves in terms of how dead we really are.
You know, I look back and I think about Ananias and Sapphira. This is such a great example of what happened in the early church, because God was raising the bar in the early church, and a man named Barnabas helped God to raise the bar, because when he told God he would give all the proceeds of his land, he gave it all. And what he did was he raised the bar to another level that Ananias and Sapphira had to match. And the fact that Ananias and Sapphira could only give part of the proceeds was really an indication they'd only given God part of their heart. And so this was just a manifestation of their heart, is that their heart would not allow them to give all of it, as they had said. But the reward was incredible for Barnabas. He went on to be mentioned like 27 times in the New Testament. He became Paul's companion and his traveling companion. And this is, I believe, what the Lord is trying to say to us, is if you'll give me all of your life, if you'll let me do anything with you that I want to do, that the doors are going to fling open and God's going to use you in a great way, just like he did Barnabas. You know, Barnabas's his name says he was son of consolation. And if you look in the Greek word for consolation, it means it's a paraklesis. It's from the root word of parakletos, the one called alongside. And I believe because he gave everything to the Lord, that he fulfilled the calling on his life and his name, son of consolation, called alongside. He's one that was called alongside of Paul to travel with him in his missionary journeys. And then Ananias and Sapphira, their ministry opportunity fell over dead, and it died on the vine. And I believe those days are coming. I believe the Lord spoke to me recently that we've entered the Ananias and Sapphira time zone, where rebellion and disobedience will be quickly dealt with. And I think everybody should really take note that we are living in another time right now, and God is looking to raise up an army to go out and do his work and be his people. And I think he's going to start exposing those who really aren't living for him, who claim they are. I think some things are going to happen that they're going to do everything they can to preserve their life, and it's going to be an indication that they're not really living for God, they're living for themselves.
Absolutely. The world is changing exponentially, and young people don't have a great deal of perspective, but just imagine how much America's changed since you and I were children.
Such a change. I mean, look at just the changes in the last 10 years, 5 years. You know, if people want to really look, last week I talked about a progression of words that the Lord has spoken to me over the last 3 years. And I mentioned one of the articles I wrote called "Whose Mark Will You Bear?" and how America where it has fallen from over the last essentially 50 years and even 100 years. But we are going into a time where things are not getting better, they're getting worse. And the only only prescription for restoring a nation was 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. But there's been no national repentance on the part of the church. And that's the only remedy for America is repentance. And there's all the prophets out there are prophesying wonderful things are going to happen, and they're calling the people that are warning Americans to repent, turn from their wicked ways. They're just doom and gloom prophets, and they're trying to nullify the voice of the true prophet. That I believe if there's a prophet out there speaking right now, the true prophets, there will be repentance a part of his message. That is the truth. That's the only remedy for America. You cannot continue to go down the same path and have the same results. The blessing has been reversed, and I believe the blessing has been removed from America. And I think if you look at all the indications, it's very obvious something's changing.
There's an overwhelming evidence to suggest that if God is blessing us financially, he must be happy with our life. So, you know, for a lot of Christians, they have two cars, a job, the retirement's going up, and their football team is winning, so life is good. And repentance has been removed from the salvation message by and large, unfortunately. So I think it will only have to be like a burning of the U.S. dollar or something of that nature before people's comfort zones are disrupted and maybe they consider turning off their TV and getting on their knees.
Well, you know, that's really the bottom line is something's going to happen to wake up America. And I was hoping that it would be a voice of a prophet, but it doesn't seem to be landing on hearing ears right now. Lord said many times, if those that heavier, let them hear. And I just want to encourage you that are listening right now that the voice of the Holy Spirit is saying now that we have to turn from our wicked ways. And we have to understand that our ways have become wicked because the world has influenced us in so many ways that we're not shocked when we see things on TV like we should be shocked at or hear things, that we become numb like those frogs in the pot. So my prayer to you is that you just really turn to the Lord and ask him to forgive you and ask him to change your heart. Lay down your life just like he did for you. Do it for him. He's looking for a bride that loves him and is in love with him. So thank you for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. I will be.